Okay, you know, but do my sermon to them and need some sound effects. Just kidding. Tranquilize them and hypnotize them. That was good. That was good. I'd never heard that, you know, as an option on how to get the birds in the barn. Oh my goodness, what is Chad doing with his children at home? He's not in here. Okay. Oh my goodness. Well, Merry Christmas. Almost. Merry Christmas Eve, right? Oh, gosh, that was fun with the kids. Karen, yeah, indeed, thank you. And blessings to all of you who are here. Some of you are visiting. Good to see the Hackman family. Judd and Bonnie, gosh, guys. Well, you're all here. My goodness, you got the whole pew. Praise God. It's just good, just good. So, Lord, thank you for setting aside this time for us to just focus for a moment and say, listen and remember what I did, and let your hearts rejoice in the God who came after you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to do that now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hey, let's read the Christmas story again, just coming from Luke chapter 2, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there wasn't any room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." That's personal, isn't it? And he is Messiah, and he is the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Hallelujah and praise God. All right, that's what we want to look at today. And I want to say that I have had a delightful Christmas season because of the work that we've done in going through Matthew from chapter 1 and just marching through, walking through the autobiography of Jesus, and all of the things, there are little things that I've picked up that after 41 years of preaching, it was like, oh, wow, I hadn't quite seen that like that before. And so those little pieces are like little gifts that God has given, like just little reminders, just like little things that it's like, oh, yeah, that points to Jesus too. Oh, yeah, that. And look at how they all fit together. And I want to look at that today. It reminded me of a time when, gosh, years ago, meaning more than 30 probably, there were a group of Bradley students who attended here, and they wanted to go on a Habitat for Humanity trip to work on a house, right? And so they needed a sponsor, so I volunteered. So I went with them. It was out in Connecticut. And we went to Boston because they all wanted to see where the sitcom Cheers was filmed. I was like, okay, we'll go up to Boston, we'll see Cheers. And we did. But then we went to New York City for a day. And they all wanted to go to this one store. It was called FAO Schwartz. It was a toy store. I don't even know if it's there anymore. Huh? It is? Okay. Did you see it? Did you go there? Last year? Really? Oh, cool. All right. What'd you get? No. Okay. So we all went to FAO Schwartz. It was a big deal. Everybody had their bags of FAO Schwartz, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And so, but this was the day, this was back in the dinosaur days when we didn't have cell phones, and we had two vehicles, and New York City traffic is so, you know, like, and we just got so mixed up, or we got separated. When you get separated, you're separated. I mean, you don't like you don't phone somebody because there is no phone to use. And so it's just like they're out there somewhere and we're out there somewhere. But we had this turnout that we were going to, a rest stop that we were going to meet at, and we got there and they weren't there, and it was like, oh man, did they come here already and leave? So we should get going? Or did they get messed up in New York traffic and they're behind us, so we should wait? We didn't know what to do. We thought, well, and we waited quite a while. We thought, we think they've already been through here. We better get going. But in case they haven't, let's leave them a note. How do you leave somebody a note in a rest stop? Okay, so here was the idea. We're going to take one of our FAO Schwartz bags, and we're going to tie it to a tree limb hanging down over the parking lot. And we thought, and then we wrote something on it, like, we've been here, right? That'll work. They'll see, right? So we went on, and we were at the destination that we were gonna arrive at in the evening, and they pulled up right behind us, and we said, you were behind us? And they said, yeah, but we knew you had been there, because while we're driving by on the interstate, we looked over at the rest stop. And we said, there's an FAO Schwartz bag hanging from a tree limb. And they all said, that's them. They did that. They said, let's keep going. We're right behind them. And that's perfect. But you know what? The reason I thought of that was because what God has done, I mean, no, that's crazy, right? Like, they didn't even read the note. They didn't go to the rest stop. They just saw it from the interstate. That's an FAO Schwartz bag. Boom. But what God has done is he's left us little signs. He like in the Old Testament, he's tied little things to a tree limb, okay? And he's tied little things to a tree limb that would only be meaningful, like, right, that we would make a connection with. Nobody else driving by would see that and think anything of it, but we knew, you know, that was them, and here we go. And it's like, So all those little things that God has done throughout the Old Testament, when you start putting them together and seeing them converge all in one place at one time, you're just going like, whoa, this is it. This is God. This is cool, right? This is cool. So what I'm looking at here and enjoying, I'm just having so much fun looking at all these pieces of the puzzle. You know, not like I hadn't seen them before, but there's just new things that come in there. Like for example, when Chad was talking about the genealogy, right? The genealogy is like somebody was somebody was somebody was somebody, blah, 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 blah. Lots of names. What, you know, right? Let's get through it. He said, no. 14. There's 14 names between Abraham and David, 14 names between David and the exile of Babylon, and there's three groups of 14. Well, in Hebrew, in David then, David Thompson was teaching us this, in Hebrew, letters had a numeric value. All right, so a D is a 4, and a V is a 6. And so the D and the V and the D add up to 14. 14, 14, 14. That is the representative. DVD is the name David. So the name David adds up to 14 in the Hebrew, you know, equivalent, numeric equivalent to two letters. And it's like what he was saying is that 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations, David, David, David. In Hebrew, doing something triple time, three times, was an emphasis. And the emphasis was, this is the son of David, this is the son of David, this is the son of David. Just like when they said, holy, holy, holy. David, David, David. And it's like, wow, that's cool. I'd never known that. I never saw that before. That is really amazing. And then we went on beyond that, and we went on to Joseph and the angelic interventions. We didn't talk about the angelic interventions, but you know what? When we talk about Christmas and we talk about Joseph, and we thought Joseph was amazing, right? He, like, come on. Your fiance's pregnant. Okay. But she's never been with a guy. Okay. I'm not sure which is worse. You know, right? At first she was unfaithful, now she's crazy. I don't know which. And we think, you know, Joseph is a great hero, but what would he have been without the angel? Right? the angelic intervention. Check this out, you guys. We think of angels like something like from a fairy tale, I think, in our minds. Oh, yeah, that was cool. You know, angels, whatever. Listen, I was just reading this story, and it's a well-known story. Daryl, I know you know this story. It's about the missionaries from New Hebrides, and they were somewhere where they were alone and isolated, and it was a group of people who didn't want them there, and they came to burn their house down and kill them, the people they were trying to minister to. And the warriors came, and they surrounded the house, and they got on their knees and started praying. I said, God, you know, we're not going to fight back. This is it. You know, this is like if they kill us, they kill us. And it's like, and they said all of a sudden, they noticed a rustling, and all the armed men and all their shields and spears and all their stuff, you know, they just took off. They just all took off. And they're like, what in the world just happened? So they stayed there. They stayed there. They ministered. They led people to Christ. The chief finally converted and accepted Jesus as God and the Creator and the Savior. And they were able to, you know, talk in the language. And he said, by the way, there was a night when you were gathered with all your warriors and you had our house surrounded. And we were sure that you were going to kill us, but all of a sudden you just ran away. He goes, well, of course we did. And what do you mean? They said, there were too many soldiers surrounding your house. Tall soldiers with shining armor and glowing. And there were hundreds. And when we saw them, we said, we got to get out of here, and took off. Isn't that awesome? And a similar thing took place. Jim Elliot and his friends, and they went to minister to the natives in South America, and they were there, and the natives came and speared them, killed them. I think there were three or four or five young men, huh? Five. And there was one of the natives was hiding in the bushes, a young woman, and she saw them, the natives kill the missionaries. And later, after the village had been converted by the wives, the five wives stayed to minister to the people who killed their husbands and bring the gospel to them. And they were talking. They played a 33 RPM record of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Okay, this beautiful choir just singing this beautiful music. And the young lady who was in the bush said, "That's the music. That was the sound I heard the day the missionaries were killed." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "That was in the air. I could hear it." And she said, "I saw like there were like a million fireflies." Swarming, just suddenly swarming. And this music, I heard this sound of these angelic voice, you know, these voices singing this beautiful. And she said, I remember the day they were killed, there were lights all gathered and this beautiful music being sung. Cool, huh? See, these aren't fairy tales, guys. These are not fairy tales. This is a more real reality than the one that we live. And just when my mom died, and the respiratory therapist, she took the tube out, and my mom's eyes got huge, and she saw something, and the respiratory therapist went berserk, and she started yelling. She started yelling in the room, "He's here! He's here! I hear him! I hear angelic voices singing! They've come to get her!" And she's just going, "Praise God!" She's yelling, "Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! He's here! He's here! They've come! I can hear the angels singing!" I asked her later, I said, like, because I didn't know, like, does that happen every time you do that? Or like, is that just, is like, she said, no, she said, that has never happened to me ever. Hundreds of times I've done this. That's never happened. She said, I could not do that. I could not keep it in. I could not just be quiet. I had to express, I had to scream, I had to yell. He was there. He was in the room. I heard the angels singing. So when we look at these stories, it's like, honestly, you guys, Joseph would not have been the noble man that he was if the angels hadn't intervened. He was already a noble man. He was already a good man. He was already a righteous man. But even in all of our righteousness, even in all of our nobility, we still need God. We still need God because we're still human creatures. And we need God. And God sent an angel to accompany Joseph and say, Joseph, take this woman to be your wife. The child that she has is from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to name him Jesus. Yeshua, he saves. And they're going to call him Emmanuel. And for us, this should trigger a bag tied to a tree limb in Isaiah chapter 7. We should hear this and we should go, wait a minute, I recognize that. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child. Wait a minute, a sign. The Lord will give you a sign. Did you hear that? The Lord is going to tie a bag onto a tree limb somewhere. When you see it, pay attention. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And so when we get to this place in here, it's like, I recognize this. I recognize this. God has done this. And we say, wow, that's amazing. Then the visit of the Magi. Remember, as Daryl taught us about how many days you can go with a camel before it has to get water. I think it's 125, is that right? Or was that miles? Miles, okay. You can go 125 miles with a camel. Why don't we just go back to camels? I mean, come on, right? Forget the electricity and the fossil fuels. Just do camels. 125 miles per gallon, right? That's what they get. But I never had made, until Daryl taught that message, I had never made the connection as strongly between the Magi who had come, right? The Magi who had come, and Daryl taught us that there weren't just we three kings. They weren't three, and they weren't kings. But that's okay. It's a great song, and we want to keep it. But the Magi could have been a dozen, but they were wise men who traveled from the east, and he made the connection with Daniel, that Daniel was in Babylon. Daniel was in Babylon, and listen to this. So the king, Nebuchadnezzar, wanted his dream interpreted, and no one could do it. So he was going to kill all the wise men. It says that. It says in Daniel, it says he was going to kill all the wise men. Now we're talking about the ancestors of those guys, those porcelain people up there. And we have four, by the way. We have four wise men. We didn't know that. But when we looked at there, we said, all right, we've got four. There's four. There's Balthazar, da-da-da-da-da. And then the fourth one is named Rick. We named him Rick. After Rick Craig, who sits back there. And there's a little group that sits back there in the lobby. You guys notice that? It's a kind of a rough-looking group. Look, crowd. You got Rick Craig. See them all back there? And you got Jim Simmons leading the, you know, it's a sketchy group. But anyway, we named the fourth one Rick. So we've got them all. And what we learned, though, the connection was that David, okay, I'm gonna read this because it's a bag hanging from a tree limb. When Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon. All right, Daniel goes to this guy who's going to execute everybody. Said to him, "Don't execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream." Well, he does. He tells the king what his dream was. The king didn't even tell him the dream. He said, just tell me what my dream was. And Daniel said, well, this is what you dreamed, and this is what it means. And he did the whole thing for him. And at the end of it, the king says to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods. But listen, this is the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Listen to what he's saying. Your God, Daniel, is the God of gods. Because he still believed in a lot of gods. But all these gods, they have a God. And that's your God. He's the God of all the gods. and the Lord of all kings, and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position, lavished many gifts on him, made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon, and placed him, what? In charge of all its wise men. Then Nebuchadnezzar wrote an edict to the people. To the peoples and nations and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. That's what Nebuchadnezzar made, is an edict and a declaration about this God of Daniel. The Most High God. So, listen, when the Magi, the wise men, ancestors of the men that Daniel saved, their ancestors, when they heard that the people of the Most High God, a king is being born to them. There's a king being born in the people of the Most High God, the God of Daniel, who saved our lives and our ancestors. We have to go. We have, right? We've got to go. We've got to go see him. We've got to get in our 125-mile, per gallon camel and head to Jerusalem and get there. And what did they do when they got there? They worshiped him. They worshiped this baby. Why? Because of their ancestry, because of what had happened, because of Nebuchadnezzar's edict, because of the history. Well, they remembered history 600 years later. We are 2,600 years later. I'm telling you the exact words that a man said 2,600 years ago. Of course they remembered it. Of course they knew this story. Of course they knew who the Most High God was, and the people of Israel were the people of the Most High God, and the king was being born to them. And so God, all the way we go through this, God is giving us little signs that we can continue to grab hold of and look at. And Micah, the prophet Micah, he ties a bag onto a tree, and he says in Micah 5:2, he says, "You, Bethlehem," which, by the way, Bethlehem, house of bread, right? That's what it means, house of bread. House of bread. Jesus was born in a town called the House of Bread, which was also the town that David grew up in, that was born in. What are all these things coming together? I am the bread of life. I am David's heir. I am the fulfillment of the prophecy. You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Wow. That was Micah putting a bag up in the limb so that when you're reading Micah and you pass by that bag, you go, God's been here. And when it happens in this day, when you see that, it's like, God's been here. This has the fingerprints of God all over it. We know he's done this. And in Jeremiah 31:15, Jeremiah is weeping for the people being deported, and he is quoting Rachel is weeping for her children because they are no more. Because Herod, hearing the Magi say that they've come to see a king and worship this king, he says, I'm going to kill that kid, whoever he is, and we're going to kill every child 2 years. And it reminds us of Moses and the putting the male Israelites in the Nile River, right? And Moses was put in a basket, and so he was saved. And so we're connecting all the pieces, you guys. We're connecting all the pieces. God is putting signs up. He's putting signs everywhere. He's putting bags in tree limbs. He's saying, when you go down this road, pay attention to what you see. It will tell you that you're on the right road. It will tell you that God has been here, that God is doing this, all of these things coming together. And then we got with David teaching us about that he will be called a Nazarene. He went back to the area of Galilee because Joseph was warned again in a dream not to go back to Jerusalem or Bethlehem, but he went up to Nazareth. And Nazareth then is Isaiah 11:1. If we turn there, then we'll see what God was saying to us there. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, it's interesting that they capitalize branch in Isaiah 11:1, and it's capitalized because it's a person. From his, Jesse is David's father, and so David, the line of kings, was cut off, so Jesse's lineage of kings is just a stump, but there's going to be a branch. Well, what's the word for branch in Hebrew? Netzer. Netzer is the same root as Nazareth. So when we read this, we say, okay, wait a minute. Matthew is saying that his going to Nazareth, we could say Netzer-eth, is the fulfillment of what Isaiah was talking about when he said a shoot is coming up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and this is him. And this is him. The bag's in the tree. Keep going. I just love Christmas. Don't you love Christmas? Don't you love seeing all this stuff come together? I just love it. And then suddenly, we fast forward. Okay, we were in our readings. We were saying we're going to do the autobiography of Jesus, and we started it too soon, didn't we, Daryl? We started it, and it was like, we're going to be done with all the Christmas passages way before Christmas. What are we going to do? And it's like, I don't know. Just keep going. But it's like okay, like, but all of a sudden, 30 years forward, and it's like the guy of Isaiah 40 in Malachi 4 shows up suddenly. The guy of Isaiah 40, somewhere, sometime, a voice is going to come out in the wilderness, and it's going to say, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Somewhere, sometime, Isaiah says, when you're driving down the road, you're going to look at a rest stop, and you're going to see a bag in the limb, and it's going to be a voice crying out, get ready. Get ready. Because you're not. John wasn't doing that because everybody was ready. He was saying, get ready. The Lord is coming, and you're not ready. And Malachi 4. Oh, my goodness. He says, see, I will send the prophet Elijah before you in the great and dreadful day that the Lord comes. Well, Elijah has to come. So what's going to happen there? So this guy who's out there shouting, get ready, Matthew just happens to say John's clothes were made of camel's hair and he had a leather belt around his waist. Well, gosh, where do we hear that? Where does that come to us before? 2 Kings. The king asked them, what kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this? And they replied, he was a man with a garment of hair, a hair shirt, and a leather belt around his waist. And the king said, that's Elijah. The hair shirt and the leather belt were the keys to knowing that that was Elijah. So Matthew says when John the Baptist came out to call everyone to get ready, he was wearing a hair shirt and a leather belt because he was the Elijah to come. Malachi 4. Malachi 4 is hanging up in the trees. Isaiah 40 is hanging up in the trees. And so Jesus comes to this crazy man out in the wilderness, gets baptized, heavens are open, and God speaks down, and he says over Jesus, this is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And Psalm 2:7 is the sign that we were supposed to be paying attention to, because he said to me, you are my son, in Psalm 2:7, today I have begotten you. And all the signs are coming together. And then he goes up to Nazareth, and he goes back to Galilee, to Capernaum, and Naphtali, and it fulfills what the prophet Isaiah said, O land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan. That's where Jesus was hanging out after he got his baptism. God spoke that he is his son, and he was tempted by Satan, and all the temptations that everyone else has failed in, Jesus passed. The only one before or since, no king, no prophet, no holy man, no leader, no one has been able to face these temptations and pass them, but Jesus did. He alone is worthy to open the scroll. And he goes back up to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea along the Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles, to the people living in darkness who have seen a great light. On those who live in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that's Isaiah 9. And oh my goodness, you guys, because it keeps going. And it says, for to us a child is born. For to us a child is born. To us. For to us. To you guys. To Melissa. To Kelsey, to Barb, Herman, a child has been born to you, to us. The government, a son has been given to us. It's the son, it's the child. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the angels cried out. The angels cried out, you know, glory to God in the highest. No, before that, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior is born to you. And so then Jesus is out of the gates, guys. Jesus is out of the gates. He's up there in Nazareth. He's out of the gates. Jesus is alive and well, and he's active. And here he goes, and he cries out, repent, follow, and rejoice. Repent, follow, rejoice. Repent, follow, rejoice, rinse, and repeat. Okay? Repent, follow, repent, follow, rejoice. Repent, follow, rejoice. Repent, repent. Get your life in alignment with God. There is no exceptions to this. All your rationalizations, they don't work. God doesn't take them. He doesn't accept them. They're wrong. Just admit it. Get your life in line with God. Just do it. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, stop playing games with God. When it comes down to it, he won't play games with you. Repent, then follow me. Just follow me. Just follow me. Jesus says, would you just follow me? Yeah, but what about the dinosaurs? Just follow me. Yeah, but what about, right? Like, it's like all my questions. Look, if you will follow me, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Follow me. What do you say to a three-year-old when you're trying to put their finger in a light socket? Do you explain electricity? Now look, there's an AC current and there's a DC current, and this one will do this to you, and it's like, you know, and then, no, God, please, dear ones, please, as brilliant as we are, and I know we all take pride in our brilliance, as brilliant as we are, we cannot understand or grasp the concepts of God yet. So God says to us, like we would say to a child, just don't touch that. God says to us, don't play on the freeway. God says to us, listen, just follow me. Just follow me. Just follow me. Trust me. This is trust, you guys. This isn't figuring out philosophy. This isn't sitting down and figuring out what's the philosophy of God so that I can understand it, so that I can agree with it. This is trusting that God is God, that all the signs, all the bags and the limbs of the trees and all the signs that he has given you, he is going to say to you one day, he's going to say, I gave you so many signs. I gave you so many signs. I said it to you over and over and over again, and all I wanted was for you to trust me. Yeah, but I couldn't figure out. I didn't ask you to figure me out. Your brain is a computer, and it doesn't run this program. No matter how hard you try to run this program, your brain does not have the random memory or the processing speed to play this program. So you're going to have to trust me. And then on the day you die and you look at me, I'm going to say, I told you. I told you how beautiful it would be. Just trust me. And so, God, as he lays out, Christmas is so wonderful. Christmas is so wonderful, you guys. Repent, follow me, and then rejoice. Because the good news of the kingdom is I'm coming back and I'm going to establish a kingdom and everything's going to be restored, including you. Watch, let me demonstrate what the kingdom's going to be like. And he healed everybody who came to him. He healed everyone who came to him. Paralysis, seizures, pain of all different kinds, sickness of every different kind, people with demons. There aren't going to be demons in the new kingdom. So he's demonstrating it. He's saying, watch, in the new kingdom, you got to go. Boom. Right? And he's healing people, and he's demonstrating this is what. So rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Look what's coming. Look what's coming. Look what's going to happen, you guys. Look what this is going to be all about. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. Trust me. And this healing, it's like, okay. So Carl was down in Branson. And when he was down in Branson, he went to change the oil in his truck, and he stepped off the curb, and he twisted his ankle, and it heard a snap. And the pain was so bad, he fainted. He's a Vietnam vet. He's been through rough stuff. He knows pain. He fainted. I took him to the emergency room. They took an x-ray of his ankle. And they said, this is a mess. And they had to, you know, reset it. Ouch. And then they put a cast on it. And they said, you're not moving for 24 hours. We're not sending you home. You're staying here. You're not moving. And then after that, they let him go because he doesn't live in Branson. He lives in Michigan. And he wanted to get home. And his wife drove him then home. And they got home. And he checked in with his doctor. And his doctor said, okay, we don't have those x-rays, so we're going to run them again. But before that happened, the night before they left, he heard a voice during the night. And he knew it was the Lord. And he had been praying. He'd been at a spiritual retreat. He'd been praying. He'd been, you know, drawing close to God. And the voice said to him, your ankle's not broken. It's not the way it looks like in the x-ray. Could have fooled me. He got up there. His doctor said, we're going to run out new x-rays. He ran the x-rays and he said, Carl, your ankle's not broken. The x-rays don't even show that this is an ankle that was ever broken. Okay? Now, Craig Keener's a professor down at Asbury Seminary, and he's the one who put together a two-volume work on miracles, and he is the one who researched this, and he got the radiology reports from both doctors so that he could compare them. And the one doctor says, this is a very broken ankle, very severe, it's going to take months of therapy, and we're not going to let him go for 24 hours, then we'll send him home. The other one, this ankle has never been broken. And it doesn't even have the signs that tissue has been torn. Jesus said one time, when there was a paralyzed man, he said, your sins are forgiven. And the people said, who are you to forgive sins? And Jesus said, okay, which is easier? For me to say your sins are forgiven, or for me to say to this man, stand up and walk after you've been paralyzed since birth? Which one? And he said to the man, he said, watch, get up, take up your mat and walk. The guy stood up, took up his mat and walked. And Jesus said, there, if I can do that, I can pronounce sins gone. But here's the thing, you guys. Now listen to this. When our sins are gone, like that ankle, they are so repaired that the damage that our sins done to us and other people's sins have done to us is as if it never happened. So the restoration that we're all heading toward, the restoration that we all want, the restoration that God is promising us is not a restoration of saying, I'm erasing the debts. I am actually renewing your souls. If I can renew, which is harder, to renew your ankle or your soul, and to take the harm of your own sin off of you, like as if I had never sinned. Because Jesus took those to the cross and he gave me his perfect righteousness. It's like, this is crazy. And it's crazy, and it's more than the computer won't compute. My computer starts smoking, right? You see smoke coming out of my ears? The computer won't do it. It's like, I can't do it, I can't do it. I can't imagine how my king could die for me. I can't imagine how his righteousness could count for me and my sin go on. I can't imagine this. Just trust me. Trust the one who was prophesied over and over and over again. Trust the one who was born in the house of bread in David's town as David's heir. David, 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 to a virgin. Trust this guy. If you can't trust him, then there's no one to trust except yourself. And good luck. So the joy of the angels on that day, the joy of the angels on that day is this. It's like, don't be afraid I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. To you, it's personal. This is personal, all right? All these signs were given for you, Tyler, Matthias, Daryl and Sue, Karen, for you. These signs were for you. We put the bag in the tree for Braden, Jocelyn, Erica, Terry. It's for you. God did this for you. He is Christ the Lord. This is the sign. I've got signs all over the place. This is the sign I'm giving you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly a great company of a heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace to men." And that's where we usually stop. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Without that last verse, upon whom his favor rests. Why? God's benevolence, God's righteous purpose. That's what all that means. Benevolence, righteous purpose, favor. It all means that it's resting on certain people. This Messiah is for everyone, but not everyone will receive him. Not everyone will receive the gift. The gift is there for all people. All people, here is the gift. Only some of you will take it. Have you? Have you taken the gift? Have you believed in the signs? Have you said this is him? Have you said, despite the fact that I don't understand it all, I'm going to trust this man? I'm going to trust this baby who was born in fulfillment of all these prophecies. I'm going to read the signs that have been left to me so that I don't come to the end of my life and God say, "I gave you all the signs." I mean, Christmas is only Christmas if we are those upon whom his favor rests, which means we've received the gift. Otherwise, it's just a holiday, and I hope that everyone enjoys it. But it's only Christmas when we know the Christ. So, are you guys there? Are you guys there? Are you there? I want to hear something. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so family's awesome. Cookies are great. Hot chocolate's fun. These things are great, right? But if we don't have this, this isn't anything. I'm sorry. We've got to make that shift. We've got to make that acceptance.